Thanks for listening to Stokely and Zach On Demand. Make sure to follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.
Can we be there?
Ah, we are here!
Ah, you don't have to do that. It's right here, right now. We're going to be going live to Dove Valley any second now, where two coaches are expected to speak. Ed Donatell, new defensive coordinator for the Denver Broncos, and one of our favorites, Tom McMahon.
Oh. And that's what I coach, is just there on the rectangle.
Oh, Coach Mahomes.
Yes.
Coach Mahomes.
Yes. What else of Coach Mahomes you have there, Steven?
Zach's juice is rare.
Thank you, Coach.
I've learned a ton from Zach, so we're lucky to have him.
Oh, too kind, too kind.
Every time he talks, you make sure those drops get played.
It's too funny, man. He's just a charismatic dude. And, like, from what everything, I didn't play in the NFL. But from covering
you
the
didn't?
Link, no, I didn't.
Gosh.
Although my physique and natural athleticism can fool you.
Right. When you look at you like NFL player.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know. I mean, what position?
Wide receiver.
It took your job. I'm thinking more like an offensive lineman that lost a lot of weight after their career was over. That's how I view you.
Have you seen Joe Thomas these days?
Oh, my gosh. Yes.
Dude, he lost like 75, like 100 pounds. He looks like a Gap model. I mean, the dude
he lost a lot of weight.
I'm telling you, that or Abercrombie or something, like he could stand outside the store with all the cologne on.
Are those still alive and kicking? Or are they?
I think they may be.
Looks glorious.
I think they may be.
How about?
I already know what you're going to say. Go with
Colorado
it.
Avalanche. I mean, Amazing. What a game that was.
Amazing.
Last night.
Amazing.
My only regret was I wasn't in the stands for that one. I mean, that would have been a great 1-2 combo. The Nuggets the night before, Avs last night. What a way to win that game. They're in the second. I mean, they were just relentless, just peppering. What's that goalie's name for Calgary?
Mike Smith.
Yeah, they were just peppering him, and he wasn't giving them anything, but they were just relentless. It's like, just get one. And then 2-0, and then they right back to make it 2-1. It's like, oh, this is going to be a bummer. And then the whoever that guy is for Calgary got that penalty and with a couple minutes left. It's like, all right, here we go. We got an opportunity. And what a power play that was. Go to overtime, and Mikko Rantanen. How about that goal?
That was
what
awesome,
a game.
Man.
What a game.
It was awesome, and he winds up with two of them. He's got a pair. After McKinnon just put a pair on the board in the previous game. Yeah, I mean, look, it feels like, and we're going to go to Dove Valley any second, so Steven, just cue me when they go live, but it feels like the Avs have mind control over Calgary right now. It feels like they have mind control, despite the 107 regular season points that Calgary put up. It feels like the Avs are just firmly in control of this thing. Because here's the other thing. Calgary, that might have been their best shot.
Yeah.
They played really well.
Yeah.
Like, Calgary played really well. Probably their best performance since the second half of game one, and they still get beat.
Yeah. You know, if you're the Avalanche, you can't take your, you know, foot off the gas at all.
Of course,
you know,
not.
Right? It's 1-1-1. Go to their place, come back here, and then back to their place for a game 7 if needed. Hopefully that's not the case. But, you know, they're number one seed for a reason.
Yep.
Good team. But the Avs right now are playing like, I don't know how to put it, but they're playing at a different level. I mean, their speed, their aggressiveness.
They're physical too, man.
Oh, yeah. They're not backing down at all. So it's a fun team to watch right now.
It's crazy.
A really fun team to watch. That environment was rocking. And to find a way, because I was watching there in the second. They had an awful power play in the second. Just kind of did nothing. Looked sloppy. And then to get that power play and that opportunity with 3 minutes left or whatever it was.
Yeah, I was going
to
say, it was about 3 minutes left. Backlund gets the tripping. Yes. And then Rantanen finishes it
right.
off. It's just so amazing. The
what a pass. And what a pass in overtime. I'm not sure who set him up, but that was an unbelievable pass for the one-timer. You like that?
Look at
a one-timer. Okay.
My goodness.
Them old, them ice skaters down there. Hey, I know it down in Cajun land, ice skaters. Yeah, I know a thing or two about hockey. Okay. But that was beautiful. It was awesome. 3-1, first round lead. Now, let's go ahead and finish that thing off. But that was a fun one to watch.
Yeah, it was. It was a blast. And I want to say, you asked about the assist. It was Soderbergh and Landeskog. That eventually set up Rantanen for his second goal, and it feels great. Now we just need the Nuggets to hold up
tonight.
Their end of the bargain.
I saw Earl on the way out, chatted with him for a few seconds. I'm like, Earl, what do you think about tonight?
Well, he's going to come back in a couple minutes, maybe in the second hour. He said he promised he would swing back through and answer a couple questions about tonight's game. It's exciting. It's exciting, but I'll tell you this. The way that I feel about the Avs series and the Nuggets series, I wouldn't say they're polar opposites, but there's a lot more trepidation going into tonight. The Avs have made me feel great about where they're at right now in their current status of the series. The Nuggets, really, and you may hear Earl say this because he referenced it on the podcast, but the Nuggets have outplayed the Spurs firmly in just one out of the eight quarters. And that was the fourth quarter. And the way that they did it can't be relied upon because you're trying to catch lightning in a bottle there. So I have doubts as much as I am rooting for the Nuggets to get it done. I'm pulling for them, but at the same time, to be pragmatic about it and just remove any emotion.
Right.
And what are my eyes telling me? The Spurs have outclassed the Nuggets so far.
Yeah. You're right. It's hard to argue that, but I'm hoping that last 7 minutes of that game in the fourth, two nights ago, is what kind of lets them know that they belong, that the playoffs aren't that different than regular season, that they can do this, and that's what I'm hoping, you know? And maybe it's living on a prayer there.
You shouldn't be. They're the freaking 2 seed that won 54 games. This is a 2-7
matchup.
They're
also the team that we saw the last month of the season look like they shouldn't be in the playoffs at all.
That's exactly right.
And that's what they've looked like for 7.5 quarters.
Right.
And now, that's what I'm hoping. I'm hoping after game three, they say, hey, that last 7 minutes is what propelled us to beat the Spurs on the road.
Sure.
That's what I'm hoping happens.
And that's reasonable, too. But I like how you mentioned the end of the regular season. This is a team that lost 6 of their last 10 coming in. They haven't shot the ball well since the All-Star break. Let's call it audible here. Let's go to Dove Valley. Head coach Vic Fangio unexpectedly at the podium.
The schedule came out yesterday. What was your reaction when you saw how it stacked up?
I really had no reaction, really. I'm only interested to see who we play the first 2 weeks, because that's who you'll start planning on in the off season. But other than that, the schedule at this point in the season is really kind of irrelevant. Where the schedule does matter sometimes is during the season you may play teams that might be missing players, that helps you, or you might be missing your own players, that hurts you, or you get a team that's on a hot streak and you get them right in the middle of their hot streak, or you get them when they're playing down a little bit. So there's no way to predict what's a good schedule.
You mentioned when you were hired by those guys and the defense in Chicago meant to you. What do you think it'll be like to play against them?
It'll just be another game. I'm sure there'll be a little bit of a build up to it a little bit, but it will be special to go against those guys. Those guys were great players, great people. I loved being around them. But for those 60 minutes, it will be another NFL game.
With minicamp wrapped up, what's your take on the 3 days? How did you feel?
Okay. I thought it went great. Guys had a good attitude. They were here to work, even though it's very early. We had great attendance and great effort, and I think we laid some bricks in the foundation to get better here. We still have a long ways to go. We got a lot of little things we can improve on, but at least they see themselves on tape now in our systems, and they can improve from there.
Coach, first time in the draft as the head coach, anything that's been different as you get close than you anticipated being different during those 3 days of the draft for you?
Not too much. We'll just see how it goes. But, John, Matt, and Starkey have done a great job with the scouts of setting the board for us. And I think I feel good about where we're at and the decisions that we can make as we go through the draft.
Flacco talked the other day about his desire to prove himself to the coaching staff and his teammates. How have you seen him do that so far?
Just go out there and be himself. You know, he's got a lot of talent. He always has. He's a really good player. His production over the years proves that. And we think he's got a lot of ball left in him, and we're going to get that from him here.
What have been your impressions of Justin Simmons now that you guys spent some time with him?
Good. You know, like all the guys, they're going through some mental gymnastics on how to play what we're doing, the adjustments, the calls, and all that. But I thought he did a good job of picking it up, and excited to have him.
Where did you play Kareem?
We played him at safety in this camp for the reason there's more to learn at safety than there is at corner. He's played a much more corner in his career, so I wanted him to get more work in this camp, all of his work, at the safety position to feel comfortable there.
Will you work him at corner?
Yeah, we will. He'll be out there somewhere. Where, I don't know. And I'm being honest with you.
You want him just to be ready for any of it?
Absolutely.
You can play him wherever you want to?
Absolutely. Absolutely. But there's more to learn at safety, so that's why we started him there.
Is the other starting safety job set so wide open, or is there more clarity there on what you...
There's really not a lot of clarity there right now. You know, we worked Kareem there this week, but that was really for the workload part of it, what we wanted to do with him. But other than that, it's wide open.
So you had a lot of corners. Chris isn't here. Bryce isn't ready. Who'd you take a look at?
Well, we had a lot of guys there. We had Bosby, all the guys from last year, and they got great work. You know, we had some tryout guys in here, and Rollins and Trey Johnson. And I think all the guys got great work. You know, it's a little tougher in this setting here. You're not allowed to press, and we don't want the corners to bang up the receivers too much, but they all got great work.
Was Bryce valuable in hoping to teach those guys, even though he wasn't?
I don't know. I wasn't in the defensive back meetings rooms, and I was too busy looking at other stuff. So for me to answer that, I'd just be guessing. But I'm sure guys, if they're smart, they'd go up to him and ask him a question because he does know what we're doing.
You had said there are some things you've wanted to do in your coaching career that you weren't able to do because you weren't the head man. Was there anything in this camp specifically that you were finally able to do?
Jerseys were one. That's one right there. You know, I'm just alternating the way practice went, you know, rather than clumping it all together, just keep moving it around.
Did jerseys ever suggest that to anybody before?
I did, and they didn't take it. Yeah, we did it in San Francisco, so I have to... Give Jim Harbaugh the footnote credit there a little bit.
Von Miller said yesterday he called you a 3-4 guru and said his goal is still 20 sacks, or 20 sacks is one of his big goals. You see him getting there sooner than later?
If he does all the little things that are necessary to do that, he's definitely got a great chance to do that. But the little things are going to make the difference for him. And it's not just on the field, it's off the field. You know, preparation, rest, all those things. Being attentive to the details and technique. If he does that, yes, the sky's the limit.
Thank you very much, Coach.
All right.
All right, Vic Fangio there. What a way to end it. I love it. Sort of, again, continuing the theme that he started with when he showed up and challenging Vaughn. We'll get back to that, but go back to the podium now at Dove Valley. Tom McMahon, special teams coordinator.
You have a lot of time to work with these guys at the minicamp.
Oh, yeah.
Your specialists.
Yeah, no question. I got two 10-minute periods. So 20 minutes in a practice like this is awesome. You know, Vic gave us plenty of time to get better.
How do you evaluate returners in the draft? What do you like to see?
You know, the biggest thing for me is catch skills, number one, because you put a ball on the ground in the NFL, you know, naturally it's automatically points. And the punts in the NFL are going to be much higher. The other thing is can they create their own return? You know, nothing, nobody's blocking for you. Can you make a big play? That's the biggest two things that separates, you know, guys and it's punt returners.
Colby came in late in the season last year. Are there things he can do better now that you have a full offseason?
No question. You know, directional punting to the right, that's one thing he's got to work, and he worked the heck out of it, you know, this week. He'll continue to do that. And then just consistency. You know, I want the same ball all the time. You know, we'd love to have 33% of the balls that we cover. 67% of the time, we want him to make the tackle. you know, force a fair catch, kick it out of bounds. You know, that's what the great punters in this league do, and he's going to be a great punter.
Langley obviously trying to make this team on the offensive side now. Do you feel like he also realizes that you might be his most important advocate?
No, I think that personally, I think everybody, you know, offensively, defensively, whatever these players play, you know, right now it's big time technique. You know, we're just working on assignments, and I think he has to perform like everybody else in every single facet, to be honest with you. If it's just, hey, I'm all we can play special teams, those guys don't stay in the league long enough. They have to have value on both sides of the ball.
Sid Colby's got specific things to work on. What can Brandon McManus work on this time of the year in these camps?
Oh, everything. Yeah, I mean, you know, field goals, we had two field goal periods, we had to go indoor, but had two field goal periods, kickoffs, all that stuff. Every single thing in his toolbox, he can work in a camp like this.
How would you describe the way that Vic Fangio runs a practice?
Direct. Okay, there's no wish, you know, no wishy-washy. He's direct. We know where we're headed. He's the driver of the bus. You know, nobody needs to get up in front and tell him which way to go.
So
I love
appreciated
it.
By players?
No question. No question. It's awesome.
All right, that was Tom McMahon saying, hey, Vic's the driver of the bus. No one needs to go up there and tell him which direction to go.
Yeah.
Love it.
No great sound bites from Coach McMahon this time.
Very disappointing.
Yeah. Yeah.
Very
I was hoping that we'd get something good.
When he's
hello, not good.
Come on, Tom. You set a standard here.
Right. Need something.
We are hoping to still hear from Ed Donatell, so we'll hang tight on that, and we'll bail out of whatever conversation we're having or commercial break that we're in to take that live. But let's go live now. There right now, Ed Donatell, D coordinator.
What's that?
Welcome back.
Yeah, hey, thanks.
Having worked with Vic before, what are your impressions of how he's handled the coaching job here in the first
season? Yeah, really smooth and seamless. He's the same guy. It's just an extension of running the whole team.
Coach, you're down some corners in this mini camp. Long look at some younger guys who impress you.
Yeah. Well, not anybody in particular. Right now, everything's on teaching. And if we can get everybody up to speed with the teaching and learning our new system, you know, we're very pleased with the progress we made in these first 3 days. It's our third time putting this scheme in together, Vic and I, and it just seems to have gone even smoother each time.
How long does it take with that team?
You never know. It's just a group of guys, but we think we're better at teaching it, so we want it to be faster every time we do it.
With Callahan being familiar with what you guys do, how much does that speed up this transition to playing with you guys?
Well, we want him to help the other players, you know, and he's an extension of us, and we've been teaching him for 4 years now, so he'll help the other guys, he'll answer questions, but it gives us a chance to look at other guys when he's not in there, and that's why when we were down corners, we just got to look at some other guys to help our depth.
What makes Bryce a good nickel?
He really has good speed and change of direction and balance, excellent ball skills, really, really a good leaper, and he can really process fast on the field.
How quickly is Justin Simmons adapted to this defense? What role do you hope he plays?
Yeah, really nobody. We're back to, we're just teaching it. Everybody's on track. We're very pleased with him, and I see a bright future for him.
What are some of the differences, the 3-4 you guys have this year versus what
Vance
and Joe Woods?
Yeah, I think I'll let Vic answer that question, but we have our own little spin on how we do this and who's rushing, who's dropping, how we become multiple, and then how Vic calls it. You know, that's what makes it a little bit different.
How much of last year's defense have you watched in terms of the Broncos?
We went through it just to see the players, to get acquainted, you know, but Vic will always say he doesn't watch much film. He likes to just come out and get a fresh start with guys and see them move around and make our own choices, learn with our teaching.
Working with Vaughn and Chubb for 3 days, how were your impressions of
them? Well, I cheated a little bit. I went back and watched them because you couldn't help but watch them. But, you know, those are the type of guys you want to put this defense in, and they're ideal, and they're good, hard workers, and it's just great to have them to start this defense.
Vaughn said yesterday he wants to get 20 sacks. How realistic is that?
That's a different question. You ask that to Vic.
How rare is Kareem Jackson's versatility?
It's pretty rare. You know, the guys play a lot of positions in the NFL. He started as a corner, a nickel, and a safety, and that's what we like. We knew
We just liked the way he played football, and we knew we were building this defense, and we'll plug him in where he best suits us.
How much have you seen Bob, like, up close, just looking at his game before you got it?
Well, we watched him pretty hard in the draft years ago, and then you just see him a lot because he's a high-profile player, but, you know, he's a rare, explosive, athletic player, and it's very valuable to play in team defense.
When you get a guy where he is 9 years in, what can you do with him? Just sort of keep looking at the little things. Big talks about the little things.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you know, Vic being the outside linebacker specialist, I kind of leave that to him and Brandon. Let them do their – they'll have plenty of coaching for them there. But they're going to look for little things. And they've seen so many great ones over the years together, you know, and here's another one. And we'll put him in position to bring out his strengths.
With all the versatility in the secondary, do you want those guys moving around throughout the season, or do you kind of want them to find one role?
You know, anytime you're cross-training, guys, it just makes you stronger in any form of your defense. But all our guys back there, we want guys that can see, we want guys that can move, guys that can communicate. You know, the first thing is we have to protect the last line of defense back there, and that's done together because all teams have good athletes. It's how you come together as a group that really separates you.
Any changes in the area, Denver area, since you were here in 2010?
Yeah. Just more population. The buildings keep getting taller and closer to you. But it's still a great place. You know, it's just a great place to come back to. Maybe I'll stay here a while.
You hear a lot of coaches going in the draft looking for three down linebackers who are playing in college.
Yeah.
Are those tough to project because of what college defenses do with their coverages and stuff?
Yeah. You've heard people talk about it. You know, the passing games are different in college, so there is more projection. And it takes, you know, great work from your scouts and coaches to find those guys.
You have some guys that you come across that you really love, or you may try to advocate, but now you say, hey, this guy can really fit what we're doing.
Yeah, are you talking to linebacker?
Well,
yeah,
just
yeah. Everywhere. You know, our scouting staff, we do it as a team. You know, John has a great vision of how he wants to do this, and Vic, and we explain the kind of what we're looking for and what the criteria is for them to operate and be successful, and then we go out and put our knowledge together.
So you guys did give them sort of a mold, this is what we need for this position?
Absolutely. You know, we have parameters, and we spell out the job description, and then we go out and find those players together.
Ronaldo obviously played here. What's it like been working with him?
It's outstanding. We've had our eye on him for a while. You know, he was an excellent player for us in this game. And then to bring him back and help him, have him help us teach it, and he relates great to players. He just has a great background, having been a coach for 4 or 5 years now, you know, and then actually playing it. Very valuable to us.
What was your impressions when you looked at film of Chris Harrison?
Yeah. I think he's really easy to fit in 11-on-11 football because he's so competitive and so tough. He can win his matchups. And so we're excited to get him back.
Thank you. All right, there he goes. That was the new defensive coordinator for the Denver Broncos, Ed Donatell, who his laugh
is like Kawhi Leonard.
It's kind of like Kawhi Leonard. Or he was like reading a text message I said, like, ha ha ha. And he's like, ha.
We got it. We'll play it for you.
We were going to have to revisit that.
Yeah.
But a couple interesting things were said, and chief among them from Vic Fangio, and we'll go through it next. So just reacting to the sound from Broncos head coach Vic Fangio, special teams coordinator Tom McMahon, and new defensive coordinator, Ed Donatell.
That laugh
did get me.
Wow.
I was like, wait a second. before I tell you what stood out to me the most, I'm curious if anything, perked your ears.
Well, they asked Ed Donatell about watching tape from previous years of the Broncos defense, and he said yes.
He did. And he actually said, we did watch it.
Right. I don't know if he's talking about – he might have been talking about all the assistant coaches.
He said Vic will tell you that he didn't watch it. Maybe Vic did watch it. This is just something he says.
Right. I just have a hard time believing I didn't even take a peek at it.
Right.
Like – Well, especially with all the time he's got. I mean, he's had nothing but time on his hands. What do you, I mean, seriously. You're gonna take a peek, right? You're right. Curious. I just want to take a look.
Right.
Not going to judge these guys by it.
Right.
But, of course, all the assistant coaches, I guarantee you, watched it all.
Sure.
Okay? They want to have an idea what these guys looked like last year. And so I took, you know, when he said that, I was like, okay, that's good. They should. You should watch it.
You know, he said, you know, I kind of cheated a little bit. I went and watched it. I'm like, no, that's not cheating. That's just watching tape.
That's right.
You're a football
coach. You're okay.
Like,
you're okay.
It's not cheating.
What about you?
Well, for me, I just, and I sort of referenced this right after we heard Vic, right before Tom McMahon came up, when he's asked, look, Vaughn said yesterday, and we're going to tee up some sound from Vaughn if you missed it and react to it maybe in the second or third hour, but he said, look, Vaughn said he wants 20 sacks. And Vic's response is sort of a challenge at the same time of validating that he can do it. And you and I have talked about this. There's a certain way to challenge great players, and you sort of stroke them at the same time that you challenge them. And Vic's been around the block. And he said, if he does the little things, if he doesn't take shortcuts, and I'm talking on and off the field, then yes, he can do it.
Preparation, rest. Interesting. It was very interesting how he went about answering that question. I like it. I think he's spot on. I think in a roundabout way, he's sending a message to Vaughn. And maybe he's told Vaughn this, which would be nice, right? You know, when you're meeting with your captains and your veteran leadership guys on the team, you want to be honest with them. Hey, you know, Vaughn, I think we can take your game to the next level, and this is what we need to do. Obviously, Vaughn's has a lot going on.
He does.
Has a lot going on. So when you talk about preparation and rest, and I think he said a couple other things in there too, but those are the two that stood out to me. The rest part of it. Because Vaughn has a lot going on at all times.
He is a social butterfly.
Right.
He's got a lot of friends. He's well connected. You see him at the award shows. He's out in Vegas. He's throwing the Halloween party. He's producing a television show.
Right.
Vaughn, he's presenting awards at award shows. Like, Vaughn is maximizing his platform. Not a bad thing.
No.
Not a bad thing. Go get your money. Go fulfill your status and create your brand and do all that stuff. But at the end of the day, I think Vic is reminding Vaughn why you are Vaughn. That's because you're a great football player.
And also do it, you know, in the offseason. Season comes around, you know, let's focus on football. Let's be more about football during the season. Offseason, yeah, you're going to have a lot going on. You're Vaughn Miller. That's fine.
Yeah.
But when the football season's here, I need your preparation. I need you to be rested. I need all that to be at its best. And then, yeah, he has a chance to get 20 sacks. And I like this approach with Vaughn. I like somebody that I feel like with what you've heard from him, you know, from his first press conference to what you heard from Vic Fangio today, like it seems like he's going to be brutally honest with Vaughn.
Yeah.
And they're not going to let Vaughn, you know, take a whole game off without accountability there or take a 10 plays off during the game and just play patty cake with the offensive linemen. Like those plays now will be called out. And those plays aren't acceptable anymore, which I think Vaughn will appreciate. And I think you could see the best version of Vaughn Miller this year because of those things. Vaughn's always been very receptive to coaching. And I think this coaching staff will get the most out of Vaughn Miller because they are honest and they expect Vaughn to be great, better than what he's been before.
And I think that's what we all expect. And Vaughn has flirted, like we talk about 20 sacks. 20 sacks, it's, first of all, that is a crazy big number. That is like a crazy big number. Was Aaron Donald even at 20 sacks this year? I think he was like flirting with like 19, something like that.
I thought he got it.
Oh, no, excuse me. Aaron Donald was at 20 and a half.
Yeah.
Aaron Donald was at 20 and a half. But it's on you, like if one guy hits 20 sacks in a season, that's significant.
Yeah, it's hard. It's a hard thing to do.
And it's circumstantial, too. You know, how often are you playing with leads? Like, you go back to that season in 2012, Vaughn put up 18.5 as a 23-year-old, second year in the league.
We had a pretty good offense.
Pretty good offense.
Playing with the lead a lot.
Playing with the lead a lot.
I look at this team. I mean, he's got a chance at it. I think if he really, you know, he's going to add some weight. I think that might help him, hopefully.
About 10 pounds, right?
Bradley Chubb on the other side going into year two. Should be a great year. You're predicting defensive MVP
mm-hmm.
caliber season.
Yep.
Best defensive player in the NFL.
Yep. I think he'd be right there. Why not?
So why can't Vaughn go out there and wreak havoc like he did in 2012? With his coaching staff, with the positions that they're going to put him in. And I like what Ed Donatell said. You know, what's different between this year's 3-4 and last year's 3-4 that they ran, you know? And Ed's like, well, we have different things that we like to do as far as putting pressures, as far as when we drop guys and things like that. So
he said being multiple.
Yes. Yes. Which I can appreciate. And so there's going to be a lot of differences between what we saw the last couple of years with Joe Woods and Vance Joseph to what we're seeing this next year. And how they put these guys in position and how they rush them. And for me, it's going to be exciting. It's going to be exciting to see the positions that they're putting Vaughn and Bradley Chubb and Wolf and company. Shelby Harris and Zach Kerr. And what positions they're putting them in. I kind of wish that they would have had the total package with Shane Ray and Shaq Barrett at their disposal. To see
right,
what the evil
right,
genius
right,
could
right.
think up and how what positions that they could put those guys in. But that's not the case anymore, but you still got two really, really good ones. And they might add another piece in the draft up front.
Yeah, they could.
Tackle, defensive end.
That'll make them even more, quote, multiple.
Yep.
And real quick on the RamosLaw.com text line, can you give it a specific example of Vaughn doing something extracurricular during the season? Well, just think of this past year. And first of all, we're not down on Vaughn. I'm just saying, like, Vic Fangio is referring to on and off the field stuff. But yes, I will give you an example. You know, within, you know, 48 hours of a football game, planning a massive party with 700 people and shooting a documentary and winding up on the front page of ESPN because of things that fell out from that. Flying in a rap artist and you know, so there's that. Take out your phone. Time to give something away. Join us next week on Wednesday, April 24th at 1 p.m. for our Fan War Room Draft Special. Food will be provided by our friends at Brothers Barbecue. So be the fourth caller right now to win a pair of VIP tickets. You know what VIP stands for, Stope?
Something good.
Very important person. You can be that guy right now at 303-713-1043. Be the fourth caller right now. One more time, 303-713-1043. And you can be with us next Wednesday, the day before the draft, in our Fan War Room. All right.
Something else happened in that conversation with Donatell that kind of got me thinking that something has got to get done quickly.
Get to it next. All right, Stoke, as we were going into break, you said you noticed something that Ed Donatell said. You actually met Vic Fangio.
I actually met Vic Fangio, yes.
It's okay.
Something that he said that got me thinking that said, you know what, they got to get this thing done. And they got to get it done quickly. Listen to what Vic Fangio said.
We played him at safety in this camp for the reason there's more to learn at safety.
Hold on, time out. The question was, where did you play Kareem Jackson?
Kareem Jackson, that's right.
And
that was just a 20-second timeout right there on the shoulders, 20
yeah.
seconds.
So quick. It wasn't Ed Donatell, it was Vic Fangio, a way to set up the clip. This is this is head coach Vic Fangio responding to where he played Kareem Jackson.
We played him at safety in this camp for the reason there's more to learn at safety than there is at corner. He's played a much more corner in his career, so I wanted him to get more work in this camp, all of his work, at the safety position to feel comfortable there.
Well, you look at Kareem Jackson, and one of the reasons why he brings so much value is because he can play safety, he can play corner, he can play nickel, he can play all over the football field, right? Probably can put him down in the box if you want to play dime and make him a linebacker in passing situations. Do a lot of different things, right? And in this camp, they decided to play him at safety more to learn there, yada, yada, yada. And it got me thinking, like, you want to be the best Broncos defense. You want guys that can play all over the football field. And with certain matchups against certain teams, you know what we want to do? We want to play Kareem Jackson at safety this game. You can't do that without Chris Harris. You're going to need Kareem Jackson playing cornerback. So I look at the situation now, and it just got me thinking that, you know what? They got to find a way to get this thing done with Chris Harris. You can't trade this guy. You can't let this thing linger on anymore. Figure out a way to get this contract situation resolved. Hopefully it'll happen right after the draft. But if you want to be the best possible defense that you can be, certainly the addition of Chris Harris helps a lot, but also it's going to help a guy like Kareem Jackson. And it's going to help a guy like Vic Fangio and Ed Donatell calling these defenses when you have guys that are can play multiple positions, gives your defense a lot of flexibility. You'll be a better defense because of that. And you got to figure out a way to get this contract situation resolved.
At 2 o'clock, I have the numbers that validates that take. And when you hear the hard and fast numbers, it makes it obvious. And I hope John Elway's listening when we have that segment in 1 hour and 9 minutes.
I'm sure he will be. He can set his alarm right now.
Sure.
Set his alarm.
Thank you, John. No, it stuck out to me too. And although Kareem Jackson can play safety, he's made his hay in this league by playing corner. He was drafted in the first round to play corner. He's the Houston Texans' all-time interception leader by playing corner. That's where he thrives. Doesn't mean he can't play safety. We saw him do it at a high level last year. But I think if it was truly up to him and he took some truth serum, he'd be playing corner. And I think Vic would tell you the same thing. But when Vic at the end was asked, he said, to be honest, I don't know where we're going to play him yet. And I think he's being authentic.
Yeah, I think they would like to be able to just move him around, depending on matchups. You know, what do we want to do against the Chicago Bears week two? What do we want to do against the Oakland Raiders week one? Might play corner one game, might play safety another game. He might play a lot of safety in the first half and a lot of corner in the second half. I mean, that's makes your defense a lot better when you have those options. And when you have guys that can do those types of things. If you have a receiver that can play outside, play inside, can do all types of different things, I mean, it makes your offense better. But if you don't have Chris Harris, you got to play him at corner 24/7.
Right.
I mean, you just can't even mess around with it.
Right.
I mean, he's your corner, and that's it. Don't even worry about playing him at safety. No need for that. We got to have him play cornerback. So, but if you can figure out a way to get this Chris Harris thing done, now you have a lot more options for a guy like Kareem Jackson, for a guy like Chris Harris, who can play inside, play outside, Bryce Callahan. All these guys are very flexible, but a guy like Kareem Jackson who can play safety and corner, you would like to be able to use him like that every single week. What are we going to do with him? Huh? We'll see. Don't know. But if you don't have Chris Harris on board, well, we know. You got to play cornerback.
It was also interesting to hear.
And this defense needs to be great this year. They need to be elite level defense. I'm not talking 2015, but they need to be, if this team wants to get back to winning ways, this defense is going to have to carry most of the load. And they have the weapons to do it, to play at a high level. But this one part with the Chris Harris situation, I mean, that goes a long way in determining what this defense will look like.
Yeah, it matters a lot. It matters a lot. I did like hearing Ed Donatell, when talking about the install, he said, this is the third time that we've done this together. This is the third time, and this is the smoothest yet, because we've gotten better at teaching it and implementing it, which is totally believable. If you've ever had to teach someone something for the first time, it's going to be a little bit rocky. You do it for the third time. Hopefully, again,
You're talking about the coaches.
Yeah, I'm talking about the coaches learning how to install this specific defense.
Yes.
He said, this is our third time doing it. So he said this is the smoothest yet by far. And in an off season where little things matter, That's a little thing, and I think it does matter. I think it matters.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. You know, as a coach, first time you do something, there's going to be some things that you need to learn about yourself and how to teach this and what works and what doesn't work. And the more you do it, the more comfortable you are doing it and the better you should be at installing these things. I mean, I look at myself. Last year, you know, working with a bunch of kids for the first time and learning from that, and hopefully this year will be a lot better. There's a foundation laid. I know what I need to coach. I know what I don't need to coach. I know how I want to do certain things. And so certainly as an NFL coach, the same thing applies. The more you've done it as a group together, the better off you should be.
Real quick, Cody on the RamosLaw.com text line says, stop freaking out about Chris Harris Jr. My goodness, Elway said he'll get it done after the draft. He didn't say that. He said they'll take a look at it after the draft.
Never said they'll get it done. Never, ever. Never, ever.
The schedule is out.
And that was before Chris Harris said he didn't show up.
I'm not showing up. Right. Right.
So that was before that. They take a look at it after the draft. So now who knows what the plan is?
I don't know.
Might not even take a look at it.
I don't know. Yeah. All right. The schedule is out. It's official. You can look at the lineup of the 2019 season. And I got to tell you, I love one aspect of it that's actually been missing lately. I'll tell you what it is next.